Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. So, what's up with the price of silver and gold? What goes into this, right? Record highs? You know, while we're at it, what's up with our national debt? $37 trillion. Oh, maybe even before the end of the show, it might go to $38 trillion. So excited about this news today. Both breaking into record high territories. Is that good or bad? Well, I think our national debt has been troublesome for some time. We're going to speak about that today. Rick Green is with us. He's the chairman of the Patriot Academy. And they've got a thing going on here in Montana. I talked about this yesterday. We'll get into it. What are they trying to accomplish here? Well, it's a balanced budget amendment to help the government live within its means. And then going to hear more from a veteran of Montana. Well, just veteran of Montana. He's an outfitter. He's a lobbyist. He's the owner of Montana's Grizzly Gold and Silver companies around the state of Montana, too. So Scott Bollinger is going to join us as we'll talk about what's up with the price of gold and silver today. I told Cody before we go on the air, hey, just pull up the national debt clock. And his response was, no!
Oh.
He does not want to see the numbers on this national debt clock. Why? Because he's got a child, right? And this is everything that we're not paying for today, they are going to pay for, or something worse could happen in this regard. So, Cody, I feel your pain, and it's really hard to talk about this without, you know, feeling that pain. There's something that we can do about it. Let me see what Tom McGillivray is, our state senator, is a state senator, and our Senate majority leader from this last session. Here's a note that he sent with this. Okay. He's lining up Rick Green. Let me tell you about this and we'll talk more about it. It's at the Eagles Hall in Laurel tonight, starts at 6:30 PM. And they're having a breakfast this morning too. And so Rick Green will kind of pull away from that and join us. And Rick Green again from Patriot Academy, and they do a ton of stuff here. I mean, they're taking the right approach with education and things like that. But our federal debt, this is in this note that Senator McGillivray sent me, estimated to be $60 trillion by 2035. Here's the scary thing. Cody's already passing out. He is. Stay with me, okay? Because we'll talk about fixing this, all right? We'll talk about a solution to this. And this is what we need to be talking about because, you know, by 2035, that $60 trillion, that is going to be the second largest yearly budget item. That is just interest on that debt. That goes to banks and lawyers and not that they're all bad, but they don't necessarily need American taxpayer money to that tune. $1.8 trillion, right? That'll be right behind Social Security as the largest U.S. government expense. And it gets worse there if we do not do something about it. And so what can we do? We can, here's what Tom said, which I liked. Congress can't fix this. Deficits are estimated to continue at approximately $1.8 to $2 trillion per year. Our deficits are continuing. And this is it. Congress can't fix this. It is plain and simple. He knows this. He did get some movement and some legislation. He's trying to get our legislature to condemn our national debt. But unfortunately, because of gerrymandering, there's not enough, in my mind, fiscal conservatives in our legislature. But this could be a runaway issue. And I could talk about, maybe I will at some point too, because how you fix this is not very appealing. And right now, as this administration is trying to pull back on this as well, you know, we're starting to see some hurt in a lot of areas. But right now as well, every taxpayer is underwater about the price of a home. You've got to take a second mortgage for the next 30 years, and everybody who's a taxpayer in this country has to essentially take on a second mortgage to pay off this national debt. And how long will that take? Well, I guess that depends on a lot of things. Interest rates are affect that as well. But Congress can't fix it. They're not going to fix this problem. And this problem is just not going to go on and on and on and on without some consequences. So hedging that off a little bit here, I think, now with this Trump administration, of course, there's a lot of liberals out there who are, well, they're offended by a lot of things. And they're offended if you take away their subsidies. And it is not, it's not clear. It's not a clear path for us. If we are going to solve this problem, it is going to cause some pain in some ways. What are you willing to give up? You want to ask me that? That's a fair question. We could talk about it. What am I willing to give up? What are you willing to give up? You know what? Why do we have to give up things for this? Why don't we just get a budget that we can work with on a regular basis, right? Don't accept that. Well, we just can't control our spending. That's not a place to start negotiations for this. Anyway, $37,923,627,000,000. Now 400. I can't read that one. That's just going. Yeah, I'll pick Cody up off the floor here, and we'll have Rick Green coming on and joining us here in just a little bit. The next issue that we'll talk about here, too, is Scott Bollinger will join us, owner of Grizzly Gold and Silver. And he's an outfitter in Montana. I've known him for a little while. Ran into him while I was previous life working for Congress when they were reintroducing wolves many, many years ago. And they didn't do it right. And they still don't do it right. They just keep changing the goalposts. And the idea doesn't appear to be to recover species. Is to be able to, generate income by pretending to recover species for certain groups. And our landowners are not in favor of that's a wrong plan. I remember Scott saying years and years ago, look, we can deal with the wolves. We just need to have some management tools. We just need to know what the goalposts are. And we just need to, have that extreme environmental community stop crying wolf, so to speak. Every time the states want to manage this population and the wolf population. Now, look what they did in this last legislature. They increased the quotas. I think, Dale Moore was saying, we had him on a host of Shadow of the Rockies, that if you trap and if you hunt, you can collect, you can kill up to 30 wolves. And that's kind of remarkable, but that's also a statement that we have not managed our wolves well enough. And look at the bears, too. We can't even get to managing the bears. And their behaviors, their natural behaviors are changing and have changed because we're not managing them very, very well. Anyway, that was then, right? And I'll probably chat with him a little bit about that, too. But he has since been, owner of Grizzly Gold and Silver. He's not the only gold and silver outfit out there, but I do know Scott. As Cody does the afternoon financial reports, he's tracking this every day. Every day, the price of gold just keeps going up and up and up. But it's unfathomable. It's $4,200 an ounce right now. And I think we were talking about $3,500 as a new record for gold, maybe not even 2 months ago, Cody. And so what is behind this? Global economic uncertainty, they say. Central banks are purchasing. And there's some geopolitical risk here, too. There are other countries around the world, central banks, that are accumulating gold because they're a little bit nervous about their currency. And why are they nervous about their currency? Because everybody is in debt. Okay. it's not funny, but it's not really super hard to figure out either. The trade tensions, inflation concerns, and then some of this geopolitical stuff, as we talked about. So China is trying to hedge their currency. They're in debt as well. I mean, the U.S. national debt clock, there's a section in there, Cody, you pulled it up, where you can show how much debt all these other countries have compared to their gross national product. World debt clock's right there. Let's see. China at $16 trillion is their national debt. The key figure here is gross domestic product. How much are they? What is their GDP? It's almost $19 trillion. So Their public debt to GDP ratio is 87% almost. The U.S., $38 trillion nearly. Our GDP, $31.5 trillion. Our public debt to GDP ratio is 96%. That's just like unsustainable. France at 125%. The U.K. at 115%. Look at Japan. Their public debt to GDP ratio is 300%. Their national debt's $12 trillion. Their gross domestic product is $4.2 trillion. That's a lot of debt hanging out there. And this is everybody, right? So you got to wonder, we can't, interest should not consume our budget. That just does not make sense. Interest cannot be the second largest or third, or right now it's the fourth largest budget item. And so we got to go somewhere with this. We got to do something with this. Gold and silver have a part to play in that as well. So Scott Bollinger will join us a bit later on. That sets up the stage, and Rick Green will be calling here in a few minutes. So I'll take a break and come on back with more, and then we'll get on this convention of states. I know there's pluses and minuses in it too, but Congress, as Senator McGillivray said, is not fixing this issue. They will not fix this issue. This issue needs to be fixed. What's that mean? Means we got to do it. To come, Scott Bollinger, gold and silver, and these global tensions. Are they colliding? Scott will be joining us in a bit, as I mentioned earlier, to Rick Green of Patriot Academy. There's a lot to break down here. This convention of states, a balanced budget amendment, and hopefully there's just some buzz about this. There's movement behind it because, Rick, good morning. Rick Green again with the Patriot Academy, president of Patriot Academy. We'll talk about that, patriotacademy.com. How you doing, Rick?
Hey, Tom. Doing well, man. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Thanks for coming on. We got some time. Let's go to 9:35. I know you're at a breakfast right now, too, so I appreciate that. Go ahead. I mean, pretty good turnout there?
Yeah, you know, what's cool about coming to Montana is I think people here are a lot like my folks back home in Texas. You know, they want to determine their own future and not have a bunch of people in Washington, D.C. tell them how to live. So most people are responding really well to our message. We're all about restoring self-governance and just giving us a chance to run our own lives and not have the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. tell us what to do.
Yeah, I got some of my emotions out of the way there because I'm frustrated that we don't plainly see the problem that is in front of us here. Talk about, again, building this coalition to get where you want to get. And then when you get there, what happens?
Yeah, the founders of America actually had a really good understanding of the nature of man. They knew that once you create a government, there's going to be people that want to control other people. And that if that government ever gets out of control, if it ever goes beyond what the people said it should do, that you got to have a mechanism to put it back in its box, put it back in its place. And I think too often we teach civics in America with an understanding. We tend to think that checks and balances simply means the legislative, executive, and judiciary checking each other. But it's actually federal, state, and local checking each other. And the federal government in America, frankly, has gotten completely out of control. The Constitution was designed to have only 17 powers for the federal government. They're now doing about 17 million things they shouldn't be doing. And they're taking our money to do those things with and then turn around and tell us what to do. So what the Constitution set up was a method for the states to actually put the feds back in their box if state legislators do their job under the Constitution. And so we're just trying to educate people about that design of the Founding Fathers. It was actually a unanimous vote at the Constitutional Convention way back in 1787 to set this thing up. It's called a Convention of States, and it's just a chance for state legislators from across America to come together and make a suggestion. And then that suggestion goes back to all 50 states in their state legislatures to vote on it. And if 38 states say yes, then that's an amendment to the Constitution. I do Constitution classes all over the place, Tom. I've got 30,000 Constitution coaches around the country that I've trained. We basically just teach people civics. And what I've found is that if people understand the proper jurisdiction of the federal government and they want the states to be the ones deciding instead of the federal government, they get involved in this Convention of States movement. It's a big deal, man. We got 19 states that have signed on to this already. We need 34 to do that. So we got 15 states to go, and we're hoping Montana's one of the next ones.
There's more about this tonight at 6:30 p.m. in Laurel. This will be at the Eagles Hall at 313 West Main Street. You and Rick Green, as well as Mark Meckler, is going to be joining, and he's president of the Convention of States. So, okay, got to clear this up. This is not a constitutional convention. This is a convention of states, right? And so there's some confusion about that.
Yeah, the difference is that the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 was called by the state legislatures to actually remake the whole thing. The Articles of Confederation was falling apart. Everything was, it was not working. It was not designed well. And so all the states said, hey, we've got to do something different. Let's have this convention to create a new constitution. That is not what we're talking about here. We're not trying to create a new one. We're trying to restore the original one. And so a convention of states is limited in what it can do. It has to follow the Constitution. It can't just throw out the Constitution. It has to follow the rules. And it has to follow the rules that all the state legislatures are saying to do as well. It's think of it like this. It's basically a chance to overrule the federal government and the decisions that they've made that I would argue have been unconstitutional, but nobody has stood up and said no. And so this is a chance for the states to do exactly that. I've got a saying I do in all my Constitution classes. We don't live under the Constitution right now. We live under the Courtstitution. We live under this mangled, you know, all these decisions of the last 100 years that have changed the Constitution without our permission. Basically, you got five lawyers, five of the nine, if you can get a majority on the Supreme Court, that are making law for Americans. And that is not the way it's supposed to be. They're supposed to simply apply the law. And so it's really confused things. It's allowed the federal government to get into things like education, which is not constitutional, agriculture. You know, I would just ask Montanans, hey, would you rather decide how to do things, or would you want people in Washington, D.C. to decide? We want the decision-making power to be at the local level. Let folks in Montana decide how they want education to work here and agriculture and all these different things. And my folks back home in Texas get to decide for Texas. Otherwise, when you let some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. make those decisions, they try to do one size fits all. And it doesn't work for Texas like it does for California. It doesn't work for Montana like it does for Massachusetts. And that's what we're trying to do here, is restore that local power instead of the power being in Washington, D.C.
You know, and it doesn't take too much anymore for people to lift up the veil and see the abuses of spending in our federal government.
That's right.
One of the things that Senator Tom McGillivray had said, and what a patriot he is for fighting for this, he says, Congress can't fix this or won't fix this. Go into that.
Yeah, you know, think about it this way. If you have a tyrant, if you have someone that takes power from the people, they literally, you know, break the bond and break the promise that they made with the people, and they say, you know, you hired me to do X, Y, and Z, but now I'm doing the whole alphabet, man. I'm going to do A to Z, whether you like it or not. Does anybody think that tyrant would suddenly wake up one morning and say, you know, that wasn't very nice. I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to give all that power back to you. That's never happened in history. And so the founders, what they did at the Constitutional Convention was right at the end of the convention, Colonel Mason from Virginia got up and he said, you know, we've created this federal government. We're going to do this new design under the Constitution, but we've got to have a way to correct them if they get out of control. And we have to be able to do that to the states. And so he proposed this convention of states idea, and unanimously they said, we need to do it. And he asked, basically what I just said, he said, you know, can you show me one time in history where a tyrant has taken power they weren't given by the people, they took it for themselves and actually gave it back? And of course, that's never happened in history. So to your point, Congress and frankly the courts and sometimes the President of the United States have taken power that they were never given by the American people. They will not give it back. Congress is never going to pass a constitutional amendment to limit themselves. It will only be done if it's done outside of Congress, and that's the brilliance of the design of Article 5 in the Constitution.
President of Patriot Academy, Rick Green, is with us, patriotacademy.com. A lot of really good educational stuff there. I want to talk about that track record of how you accomplish things here in Tibet. Time runs so fast, and thank you for taking time out of your breakfast. As you were kind of joking, your eggs are getting cold, but I appreciate it.
It's so worth much. It, man. It's worth it. We've got a country to save.
What does a balanced budget look like? I mean, how would it operate?
You know, the founders had a couple of great lines about the fact that if you run a deficit that you cannot pay off in your generation, you're literally stealing from your own children and grandchildren. $37 trillion now we've run up at the federal level. There is no way for us to pay that off in our generation. So we're probably stealing from even our great-grandchildren at this point. It's absolutely immoral. Yeah. They said if you ever run up a deficit because you got to go to war, you know, maybe for whatever reason, there's a national crisis and you have to run up a deficit, then when that's over, you cut whatever you got to cut. You tighten the belt. You make, just like we would as a family, right? If we have a family emergency and we have to spend money that we didn't have, we have to borrow to take care of a family emergency. Well, when that emergency is over, we have to cut whatever we have to cut in order to pay that thing off. That's what has to happen at the national level. And I'll tell you, Tom, part of the reason this deficit is so out of control is the fact that the federal government is outside of its authority. It's doing all of these things that it should have never been doing in the first place. And it's not even so much how much money they spend, it's what they spend it on.
Right.
That's the jurisdiction question. It's all about who decides. And if we could just get back to the original design where the federal government's doing a few things that are important, I'm not at all for abolishing the federal government. I think we need the federal government to do war and to the military, protect patents and copyrights and trademarks, all these things that the Constitution actually says, and that's going to cost money. Nothing like what we're spending right now. But if we just put them back in their box, we just trim their sails, we get rid of all these agencies and departments that they don't do well anyway. I mean, I don't think anybody in the country thinks that the Department of Education at the federal level is doing a great job of educating people. We did much better in education before Jimmy Carter created that. And so if we can get rid of those excesses, it'll help rein in that budget. And over time, we can get this thing back to a balanced budget, which makes the whole economy healthy. It benefits everyone in the country. And back to our original point, it keeps us from stealing from our children and our grandchildren.
And I think it might be hard to get there, but I think we can settle in there. I mean, I think we can live within our means. We do it as a city, as a state, as a family. We should be doing it as a country. Quickly, about PatriotAcademy.com. You guys,
yes, sir.
Yeah, tell me about it. You got a proven track record on how you guys are accomplishing this awareness.
Yeah, 25 years of doing this. Our specialty is training young people, actually, teaching 16 to 25-year-olds how the government works, what a constitutional republic is, how they can be a leader and a good citizen, whether they go into the political realm or business or ministry or whatever they're going to do with their life, just to be good citizens. And to do that, you've got to have some knowledge about how the system works. And so we've been doing that 25 years. We do it in state capitals across the country. The kids come in and we do a mock legislative session so they actually get to experience being a state legislator. And then we added our constitution programs 15 years ago, and that's the 30,000 coaches around the country. I can promise you this, Tom, we've got the only constitution classes known to mankind in which you will not sleep. I don't know about you, but I hate boring history and boring government, and so we tried to make it exciting, and we actually teach the classes from the room where it all happened, Independence Hall in Philly, and we take people out to the battlefields and march with the Minutemen at Lexington and all kinds of cool stuff. So our Constitution classes are a big hit across the country. We put about 1 million people through that and looking to put about 4 million more during the 250th. We've got a great opportunity here, man. People are talking about the 250th. It's the 250th birthday of the country. What a great time to remind them how the Declaration was created, what the principles are there. What does it mean to say we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, all those things. Teaching that right now while people are paying attention is a phenomenal opportunity. So anybody that wants to do one of our classes, they're free. PatriotAcademy.com. You can take the class for free. You can sign up to be a Constitution coach for free, and we will help you do this in your local communities, bring people into your home and your church, whatever it might be. And it creates a great opportunity for people to even just build friendships with other people that want to help save the country.
What's the status of the number of states that have are on board already?
Yeah, we've got 19 that have called for the convention. We need 15 more. And when 34 states call for the convention, then all of the state legislatures will be invited, and they'll be able to send a delegation. And at that convention, it'll be a great civics lesson for the whole country because it'll be broadcast. Everybody will be watching everything that happens there. They'll debate things like term limits and on federal judges, on members of Congress, on bureaucrats. They'll talk about the jurisdiction questions you and I were just talking about. What should the federal government do versus what the state should do? And then they'll make suggestions. And they'll send those suggestions, those proposed amendments, back to all 50 states. It'll take probably a year to get through that process. And if 38 of the 50 states say yes to an amendment, it goes into the Constitution, and it puts the federal government back in their box.
Rick Green again, president of Patriot Academy, patriotacademy.com. You can hear more about this because people are worried about chaos breaking out there. There are controls. Go to this speech tonight or this meeting tonight. It's in Laurel at the Eagles Hall, 313 West Main, starts at 6:30. That's free as well.
Hey, yeah, Rick, Tom, and we really encourage people to come ask questions. We love civil discourse. We're not afraid of any question being asked.
Yes, where 51% of the time we are buying high and selling low. I know that's not how it's done. Welcome to another edition here, and good to have you joining us. Tom Schultz alongside. And you got those numbers out there. If you got some questions, text. This will go rather quick. We got about 15 minutes here as we talk about the price of silver and the price of gold. And a fellow who was in studio here a while back, Scott Bollinger, joins us again. He's the owner of Grizzly Gold and Silver. And Scott, I just enjoyed that conversation we had. I filled myself with a ton of information I don't know what to do with. But thank you. How are you doing, sir?
Well, in this crazy time, I don't even know how to answer how I'm doing. We are in unprecedented times, and we are seeing huge validity in this precious metals market right now. I was just looking at the markets this morning. Gold is down $225 an ounce, cheaper than it was yesterday. And silver is down $3.58 an ounce from yesterday. Now, after having said that and looking back, the price of gold and silver has about doubled in the last year. So we are seeing record-breaking prices, and it seems like every day it's going up a little higher, and a little higher. And that has just caused our doors to be flooded with buyers and sellers, people that are afraid the prices are going to go even double higher. And then there's other people that have bought from us, and they're like, hey, you know, I bought this a year ago for $2,000, and I'm going to sell it for $4,000. Mm-hmm. So lots of action in the stores these days.
What do you make of this? I mean, have you seen this before? It's certainly just investor demand. And I think you kind of hit it on this, and maybe we'll start with the international connection to all of this. And then that we can back up and go to the history of the gold standard as well. But there's a lot more of international pressure than there is industrial pressure on this, isn't there?
It is total international pressure, yes. Mm-hmm. The Chinese are buying gold like crazy. Other countries are too. They're ramping up and they're taking physical possession of gold. And when we're talking mm-hmm. about gold and silver for this conversation, and what we do at Grizzly Gold and Silver is we are physically handing you a gold bar or a silver coin. So these countries are putting the pressure on supply and demand, and that's what makes the prices go up.
Why are they doing this?
Well, there's a lot of speculation about that.
Yeah.
It's called BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. The BRICS nations are trying to create their own currency that will be backed by gold and then undermining the U.S. dollar. And, you know, right now the whole world trades in U.S. dollars, and, you know, they would like that to be something other than U.S. dollars. So, you know, that's what we're hearing, and that's what we're seeing in these markets right now.
Is there a response then that, again, that's geopolitical. Is there a response that's necessary from the federal government or maybe other Western civilizations?
Well, the U.S. government doesn't want to tell the citizens that the rest of the world is losing faith in our currency.
Right.
So they're sort of in denial is what I would say, you know, and what we've seen, you know, this month, U.S. citizens have been net sellers of gold. There's more people selling than buying, yet China, Vietnam, Thailand, Australia, Japan, India, their citizens are net buyers. So what does that tell you? And you can let that sink in and think about that. Why is that happening? And the government and the politicians, they don't want to talk about that, but people are getting wise.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we just did a little thing about our national debt, and that is the unspoken, I think, influencer here. Maybe people are talking about it in a lot of ways, but countries all across the world are deeply in debt, almost up to 100% of their gross domestic product. And so all of their currencies are in jeopardy.
That is true. And central banks all over the world are buying gold. Gold has always been, for thousands of years, the symbol of wealth. And everybody in the world understands gold. So, I mean, that's where the term gold standard came from. Mm-hmm. Everything was backed by gold until 1971. And that's when everything kind of went to heck. That's when it started. That's when Richard Nixon took us off of the gold standard. And since then, the government just had a license to print money with nothing to back it up except the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. So when you look back, 1933, this is what a lot of people don't know, is in 1933, the United States government confiscated private citizens' gold. It said, you have to turn in your gold. And so from 1933 to 1974, it was illegal for our parents and grandparents to own gold. So 1974, they passed the Gold Act, and that's what made it so that we, as you and me, private citizens, could own gold. And the price of gold then was $35 an ounce. It had been $35 an ounce from 1933 to 1974. And that's where we had everything was stable. We didn't have, you know, all that, this big crazy $37 or $8 trillion in debt. And every dollar that the U.S. government printed, they had a dollar's worth of gold to back it up. And as we know now, that's not the case. We just keep printing extra trillions at random. So people are, you know, understanding the history of the money system in the world, that currencies don't last forever. And right now, the U.S. has in history the longest running currency, but every single fiat currency in history has failed, everyone. So now it's just a matter of time on the trajectory and the path that the United States is on, that the dollar is just getting weaker and weaker and weaker. So when is it going to collapse? You know, it has to. It can't keep going. So that's what's driving people to diversify their portfolio, get out of the stock market, and get into owning physical gold that they put in their safe deposit box, they put in their gun safe, they put it under their bed, wherever they have their, you know, favorite security hiding spot, they'll have a chunk of silver and gold. And we're seeing more and more and more first-time buyers. They walk in the store, you know, looking around confused, and they're like, hey, how does this work? I want to buy some silver. You're like, oh, it's right here. You want a round? You want a bar? You want a 1 ounce, 10 ounce, 100 ounce? You know, you want a gold Krugerrand, a gold Maple Leaf, a gold Eagle? And they're buying it, and then they're coming back a month later, and they got another couple bucks that they saved up, and they're trading their fiat currency, which is what we carry in our pocket. It's just a piece of paper. And they're trading in for physical metal.
What, again, Scott Bollinger is with us. He's the owner of Grizzly Gold and Silver, a lobbyist as well, a former outfitter. I do want to save some time for you to talk about how you've been, I've been knocking them dead out there in the early part of the season. We haven't talked about silver. This is different. It's supposed to be less volatile than gold, or more volatile than gold, I should say, because there are industrial uses for silver, but there's more silver that goes on around the world. I think the key note that you make here is that there's a ratio that historically is interesting when it comes to silver and gold.
So what we're seeing right now in silver, and this is just, you know, it's something I never even heard the term, and it just came out recently. We're in a situation called backwardation. Backwardation. And that's where we're seeing the prices between futures and spot market inverted. And you know, we've had so much volatility that one of our biggest suppliers that we deal with last week just shut down. I mean, the prices were going so crazy. They just sent an email, "We are not trading today."
Mm.
It's like, wow.
If
we can't trade with them, then I can't trade with my customers because I don't know what the prices are going to be. So when we're in this situation right now where we are net buyers, I have more people selling to me than buying from me. In a perfect world, you know, Joe customer comes in and sells me an ounce of silver, and Mary comes in and buys that ounce of silver an hour later, and I'm just in the middle. But when everybody's selling to me, I have to turn around and sell it to my wholesalers. They're turning around and selling it on the international market, and it's going to these other countries we talked about earlier. So it's just crazy times right now.
Is there an end to this?
Well, no. And, you know, if I had that crystal ball, then I would liquidate and say, oh, man, I'm taking my own personal belongings of gold that I own for my retirement, and I'm going to sell it because it's going to go down. Well, is it going to go down or is it going to keep going up? My big guys, my big national guys that live in this world are predicting steady increasing demand. It's going to keep going up. And the more that the rest of the world is losing faith in the U.S. dollar and the more gold that they're buying, we're just going to keep seeing this go up and up and up. And, you know, no one country, no one person, no one corporation can influence that price. It's just way too big and it's way too global.
Have we ever been net sellers before as a country?
I've been in this almost 20 years and I have not seen that. Okay. No, nope. I've seen some big runs. You know, 11 or 12 years ago, silver got up to $48 an ounce. And at that time, gold hit a record at $1,900 an ounce. Well, today, that gold price has doubled, and silver's back where it was. And that's what we talked about, that ratio of the price of silver to the price of gold.
Are governments or individuals, I mean, is there any accumulation? I know the governments, you got to have accumulation there to have any impact. But, I mean, as far as the physical materials, is it 70% government-owned, 30% private-owned? Is there a ratio there?
That is out of my wheelhouse,
yeah,
Tom. I don't know that.
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, you know, is that wealth transferring to individuals, or is it going to be to, you know, governments? And
yep, I don't know that. That's a level of trading. You know, Grizzly Gold and Silver is a retailer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we have 5 locations. People come in, they bring us their old jewelry, and they're like, "Hey, gold's over $4,000 an ounce. How much is this ring? I priced one yesterday in the Helena store. This little gold ring a lady had." I said, "Well, we'll give you $800 for this." She said, $800? You know, we paid $50. Like, yeah,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Gold was $35 then, you know? So answering your question on the macro level, I don't know that. That's out of my area of expertise.
It's got to be a fascinating time, though. I mean, a lot of uncertainty, too. But a lot of curiosity, you know, so my eyes are open. My eyes and ears are open now, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and so when every other commercial on talk radio and talk TV, you know, the political channels of Fox News, for example, I mean, every other commercial, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. So, you know, it creates a buzz. And when people actually come in for the first time and you put an ounce of gold in their hand or a little gold bar, you know, their eyes light up. And it could be a little kid. One time I handed a 100-ounce bar of silver to it. Anyhow, you know, there's something magical about owning gold.
Yeah,
when you have it in your safe.
I'm sorry, yep. I didn't have time for that story. Shoot.
That's okay.
Because I would have seen myself in that, I'm sure. Scott Bollinger again, Grizzly Gold and Silver. Thanks, Scott. Didn't get to hunting. We'll do it some other time. Be well, sir.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.